Hey, welcome you guys. Joe and Therese are you know, went up to the cabin for Thanksgiving, so I'm excited to preach to you guys today. And yes. First of all, though, I want to let everybody know, can we get a round of applause for Laura and everybody that put on Thanksgiving? We had a beautiful Thanksgiving dinner here. If you had no place to go this year and you didn't come, you missed out on some great food, and everybody's invited. Next year, please all come. It was a great time. And can we get a round of applause for Deborah Kelsey and all the volunteers that set up the Christmas for church? Thank you. It looks beautiful in here. Now, I'm excited to preach today because it's just one of those times where, man, I had to fight for this one. I mean, it was warfare. I had to go through some ups and some downs, and I really had to fight for this one. So I'm believing that really that God has a word for everybody today. Another thing that you know, I'm excited about is really peeling back scripture. You know, certain versions versions of the Bible will explains the scripture a certain way. So, like, for instance, NIV or New American Standard Bible is a lot easier to understand, especially for new Christians. So I encourage anybody that's a new Christian, get a Bible that you understand, you know? But also, as you grow in the Lord and you realize that there's other versions, like the New King James Version, which is actually a really good interpretation from Hebrew to English. Because the more that you translate, the broader that you make statements, you kind of lose some things in there. Which is fine, but what I want to definitely lay down something today. The one, read a Bible that you can understand. Two, as you journey with the Lord and you grow, realize that there is no depth, there's no floor to the depths that you can dive into God's Word, and there's no ceiling to the where you can sail with God's Word. There's just, you can go deeper, you can peel, you can really just squeeze all the richness out of a scripture that you want to do. Amen? So, as we get into this holiday season, we're going to go into the birth of Christ, and I thought before we do that, because we're done with the Genesis series, and I was telling Joe, I go, why don't we do this? You know, I'll do a, and people at this church will understand, I'll do a one-hitter quitter. I'll do a one-hitter quitter about Jesus, and then we'll go into the birth of his. Because I wanted to take today to really, why? Why do we worship Jesus? Why is he so important in the Trinity? And before we go into that and celebrate his birth and the fact that he had a virgin birth, that he lived a life that was perfect, sinless, only to be crucified and sacrificed for our failure to do that. Why would God want to do that for us? Well, I want to look at this one scripture today. It's going to be our center scripture. I got other scriptures I'm going to share with you, but we're going to base this whole message off of this, Luke 19:10. And this is the NIV version, okay? For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's a true statement. Jesus did. He came to seek out and save all those people that were lost, like me and you. I was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, and now I see. That's true. But if we look at the New King James Version, Jesus says this, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So I want to talk about that today. And I know that if you look at this broad statement, it's the relationship between man and God. It was lost in the garden, and it's been a struggle ever since. I get that. But Jesus, the kingdom of God, they like to say, is like this. It's already not yet. It's already here, meaning the kingdom of God lives in you and me, but it has yet to be fully fulfilled. That tells me a few things. That Jesus saves. When I asked him to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior, I was saved that day. My eternal position was confirmed that day. But as I grow and I walk, I continuously see that Jesus has to continuously save me. And he will save me. So it's already not yet. He saved me, he saves me, and he's gonna save me. So, that being said, let's talk about that. When did we lose that? Where did we lose that? And how can we get that back? We'll start, we're in the garden. And I'll paraphrase a little bit. Adam and Eve are in the garden. I hope you know this story, but if you don't, it's cool. No worries. It's the birth of man. God created man. He created woman in his image. They're in the garden, and God says, eat from every tree in the garden except for this one. This one is the knowledge of good and evil. You don't need that. You don't need that. Okay. So that was God's one request from them. So we pick it up in Genesis 3 verse 6 where Eve is sitting in the garden and Satan or the serpent has approached her and he's been giving her suggestions and lies. And like any other human, because we can judge them, man, you blew it for all of us. Why'd you do that, Adam and Eve? But in reality, you and I are in the garden every day. And Satan's all, really? Did he really ask you not to look at that kind of stuff? What does his word really say? You know, it's just this one time. You've been good. We go through the same thing they go through on the daily. So we pick it up in verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband. She also gave her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking into the garden of the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. You see, this was the first time man and woman knew they were naked. You see, before they lost that, they were fully transparent. They were transparent with themselves, they were transparent with God, and they were transparent with each other. So much so that they didn't even know that they didn't even have any clothes on. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice to be just dig what you see in the mirror? They had it like that. They had it like that. And it's interesting that it says that their eyes were opened when they ate that fruit. You see, God originally made you and I to trust him. Because he's got our best interest in mind. He created us in his own likeness to be like him, to live with him. And we, in our humanness, in our natural sinning man, we blew that. We lost that in the garden. We lost that beautiful moment when everything was good. And I, you know what, let's even just bring it into now. Can you think back, and you may or may not be able to do this, because I can barely remember anything that happened in my life, but there was a time, and you probably this big, there was a time when you didn't know about hate. You didn't know about lies. You didn't know. That was a time when you were pure. I mean, yes, you were born into sin. Yes, we're all tainted. And, you know, eventually you grew up and you lied about the candy bar or you stole one from 7-Eleven like I did. And, you know, we just became that. We just, the disease of sin took over. But see, there's a moment in our lives. Jesus came to seek and save that. You see, it's true that the most important thing is our eternal destination, because eternity's way longer than this, for sure. But this life matters. And Jesus, the fact that the kingdom of God is already not yet means that he wants to bring that to me now. So Jesus came to seek and save which was lost in me now. So I can live life and I can operate no matter what's happening in Washington, D.C., no matter what I see on my TV or my cell phone, no matter what, if times are good, if times are rough, it don't matter in the sense of my job is still the same. Worship God and trust Him at His Word. Love myself love others as I love myself. There's three ways that they sinned in the garden. Emotionally, mindfully or logically, and then physically or willfully. This caused a separation from God. And that's when they were cut off spiritually. The whole law of God was broken by the whole nature of the sinner. Like I said, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost emotionally. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost logically. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost physically. And Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost spiritually. So I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about Jesus coming to seek and save that which was lost emotionally. Now, anybody that knows me knows that I'm an emotional person. I am passionate. I'm definitely not quiet and reserved. Amen. So I understand there's a dark side to that. To be emotional and passionate is great. It's a huge gift from God. Thank you, Lord. But there's a dark side to that. You see, I can let my emotions just run wild. And for most of my life, I base my decisions on my emotions. And anybody that's ever done that, you know what you get when you do that, right? It usually ends with, I'm sorry. Even if I wasn't originally wrong. Amen? But I'm sorry, I broke your window. Sorry about the dent in your car. You know, whatever. Sorry. Jesus came to seek and save that. If you've lost the ability to control your emotions, if you've lost yourself in that, Jesus came to seek and save that in you. And let me tell you what that looks like. You know, forever, in my damage, in our damage, we think what we have right now is broken. And it's like, man, it just doesn't work like I wanted it to. A relationship, any kind, a marriage, a friendship, a work relationship. Just, I'll let you pick the one. But you're like, God, this is so hard. That looks easier over there. You know? That looks like maybe that might work better for me. We do things like look over the fence when really God wants us to engage with Him. You see, in the brokenness of our relationships, and anybody that knows me and my wife, man, we gave our testimony up here a few years back, and it was like, I mean, we had a safe word, avocado, you know? And it's like, wow, Jesus is real. But listen, and I only use that because if your marriage didn't work out or your relationships didn't work out, look, not all of them do. God's still got something big for you. I just want you to take principles. This was an uphill battle. This was a thing in my life where even our parents said, please divorce. Do everybody on this planet a favor and run for the hills. That's why I share that, because all I did was press into God and believe Him at His word. And nothing that I preach today is a magic wand. Nothing is going to just get fixed today except for your perception in the name of Jesus. Because God He places opportunities in front of us. And you know what? Your relationship is broken, just like mine. Why? Because I'm broken. You're broken. That's okay. That's okay. It's yours. This was the greatest revelation God ever gave me, was that I gave you this. I gave you this so you could rely on me. You can press into me. You can trust me what I say to do. You can listen to my voice through the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you when to talk. I'll tell you when to shut up. If you just submit, surrender and do that. And yeah, it's going to be tough. Because you're so jacked up, Jonesy. Yeah, what, you think this is going to be easy? But if you're faithful and just showing up, if you're faithful, Jonesy, and just walking this out with me, it will be tough, but all things are possible with God. Yes, even you in your selfishness and self-centeredness that goes deep, I can break that if you trust me. I can break that in you if you trust me. I will allow you. I will get you to the place if you trust me to allow you to feel your emotions. I gave them to you, says the Lord. I want you to feel. But you don't base your decisions on those feelings. I want you to base your decisions on what I say. That way I'll allow you to feel what you need to feel. But when it comes to respond, when it comes to what you want to meditate on in this situation, kind of like what Tim was sharing, you don't want to meditate on the damage. You want to meditate on the cure. You want to meditate on the one who has the cure. 2 Timothy says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I want you to remember this scripture when you start getting sideways. Because here's the thing. I'll probably say this a few times today because I feel that it's true. Some are sicker than others. Some it will be more of a struggle to get. You're so disconnected and you're so damaged that it seems like, where do I even start? I get it. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, baby. That's what God wants. God wants the long haul with you. And even though I said that this sermon is a one hitter quitter, this principle, this precept is something that it is a marathon. And the only way that you really see is from being faithful and taking one step in front of the other. It's trial and error. It's trial and victory. But I just keep on keeping on, God, because you said you had grace renewed for me every day, Lord. And all my responsibility is to trust you, is to wake up in the day and go, God, what do you want from me today? Lord, speak through me today. Allow me to be a blessing today. God, make me that husband you want me to be. Make me that boss you want me to be. Make me that father that you want me to be. Make me the friend and the man of God that you've called me to be. It's that kind of attitude that will take the times when I start getting sideways, and I do, people. My beautiful wife came to first service. It was awesome. And I said, you know what? I got to tell the truth today. She's sitting in this room. But here's what I want to say. I haven't perfected anything. I still make mistakes. But the more that I apply these principles of God and I allow, you know what? God has not given me a spirit of fear. Because when you emotionally act out, you're afraid. You're afraid of losing something. You're afraid of being out of control. You're afraid. And if you just stop and you realize that, you can go, you know what? God has not given me a spirit of fear. But he has given me a spirit of power, his power of love. I can love on command and a sound mind, meaning I'm not crazy. Yeah, I'm broken. Yeah, I have a past. I have some things to overcome. But God is in control. Amen. So when we fully surrender to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we take on our original identity. We take on our original identity when we walk in the Spirit. We're made in God's image. And there was a time when God's people didn't get offended. Adam and Eve didn't get offended by anything in the garden at that point. There was a time when people didn't operate out of fear or anger or resentment or jealousy. And we will battle back and forth between the flesh and the spirit. It's just the way it is. And this is why Jesus says this in John 15. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Well, what fruit are you talking about, Pastor Chris? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This is the fruit that will change your life. This is what's going to produce change in your life as you stay connected to Jesus, as you abide in him and he in you. That means we are ride or die buddies, baby. It's me and you, Jesus, today and every day. Here we go again. Come what may, Lord. Whether I skin my knee today or I'm singing from the mountaintop, it's me and you. But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, long suffering, the ability to suffer long. That's a gift. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That you can't put a price on. And like I said before, I have not perfected this, but man, I'll tell you this. I have gotten so much better than I used to be. The more that I press into God and the more that I line my feelings of, okay, I'm feeling it again. Whoo, is this me? Is this my trigger? See, if I can admit it first, then I can deal with it. But if I pawn it off on you and I don't want to look at it, no, you know, you're my Lord, you're my Savior, God, but I don't want to look. Listen, you got to look. Open up the closet, let that stuff spill out, and you and Jesus just go one by one. One by one. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. That you lost emotionally. You are emotionally damaged. Jesus came to seek and save that, to bring you back to emotional health. Even though you and I, as long as we're in this body, we will sin. But there is health to be had. There is health to be had emotionally. And Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost logically. So let's go back to the garden in Genesis 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? I mean, he said you could. Has he not said that? He said that. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So the serpent says to the woman, you will not surely die, liar. For God knows that in the day of you, that you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You see, logically, she bought into that. Oh, I want to be smart like God. Oh, I want to make my own decisions like that. That makes sense to me. She sinned logically there. And we see Satan in the beginning just raised a question. He's just, hey, did he really say that? I mean, didn't he say that? And then he gets you with the lie. You will not die. You'll just be smart like God. Hey, that's not going to ruin your relationship looking at that. It'd be fine. Hey, you know what? Don't try to connect with your spouse. I mean, they're so hard to deal with. You know, it's just better if you guys just do your thing. Satan loves to give us suggestions. It's the battlefield of the mind. There's been books written on it. This is where it all goes down, right here. The logic, the battlefield between God's logic and ours. God's thoughts and ours. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from nesting there. That's your thought life. You can't stop thoughts that come. I mean, I have crazy thoughts in church. I'm just being honest, man. Some are sicker than others. But I don't have to meditate on those thoughts. I don't buy into those thoughts. That was a great eye-opening revelation for me. I can't stop the thoughts, but I don't have to grab onto them and then meditate on it. Because you know what happens when I do that? I'm sorry. I can concoct a story in my head. A real one. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. But see, when we do that and we begin to meditate on that, we start to operate into that. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost in our logic. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6 says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You see, when we end up being obedient to that, when we understand, okay, logically right now, logically, I feel like I need to do this. I need to, you know what? I don't like the way they treated me, and I think I should do this. Or I'm just, you know what? They need to know what's on my mind right now. I'm going to blah! God has given us a spirit, the kind of spirit that can take those thoughts and run them through a filter. Literally take control of every thought in the captivity of named Jesus. That means that if I submit to this scripture, if I believe this, I believe this is telling me that no matter what I think, I am able to stop and process this. How much of this is me? How much of this is God? How much of this is the devil? How much of this is my flesh? Let me just stop, because I know that I have triggers. You have triggers too. You should figure them out. What triggers you? Know it and admit it to yourself. So when you get triggered, you can go, oh, this is mine. Now I know that I can take this into the captivity of Jesus. I know that he said that there is fruit to be had. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Jesus said, I don't have to throw up on nobody today. Jesus said that I can feel my feelings, stop and process them, see what lines up with the Word of God, see what lines up with truth, and if what I want to say is kind and necessary and true, let her rip. But I am able to think logically. God gave us the brain to think, but we are supposed to have a plumb line. We are supposed to have everything that we think. What do? We check it against the Word. We check it against the Word. And then we respond. Do we discard it? Do we take that thought into the captivity of Jesus and rebuke it and discard it? Or is it something that we want to focus on and meditate? Is it something good that we need to think about and meditate on and ask God to begin to, you know, bring forth answers and wisdom? But in that moment, we get to do that logically. I can look back at my life and in my own logic and see where that got me. I mean, my logic got me into rehabs and prison and jail and broken relationships and a lot of pain, a lot of destroying. That was my logic, because really I was just trying to survive. Those are my survival mechanisms. You know, I'll get you before you get me. Oh, you hurt me? Watch this. That's no way to live. And my life proved it. There was evidence in my life of that. But see, Jesus came to seek and save that. Something that I lost logically. You see, God had it eternally. What I gave my life to Jesus probably, let's just say I gave my life to Jesus 15 years ago. How come he just didn't take me home? Or all of us. There's something to this life. And because I know this, because I'm still here breathing, that means I have a job to do. That means my job is to take this free gift of new life, of this thing that got found and saved and healed. See, God does that so we can pour it out. And it's a process. You know, it all happens in that process. It's not a magic wand. It's this organic thing that happens with God. When we finally surrender. You know what, God? I know where my logic gets me. I know where my emotions get me. Let me press into your word. Let me learn my inheritance. I want to know that scripture will pop up in my spirit when I start getting sideways and I'm mad on the freeway and I want to flip that dude off, man. Or scream out the window. Or just go off on somebody. Oh. Lord, you've given me the ability to just pick fruit right now. Love, peace, joy. I don't have to operate in the natural. I can operate in the supernatural right now. I can literally plug into you. And if maybe it's one of those days where you're just ungrateful, you should catch yourself when you find yourself complaining about stuff, because everything that's going on in your life is yours. It's yours. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? If God be for you, who can be against you? Are you looking at something that's just like, man, I don't even know how I'm going to deal with this? I get it. God really gets it. He just wants us to go, you know what? I know it's big. I know it's big, Lord, but I'm not even going to worry about the results. I'm just going to trust you in this. And I'm going to ask that you would work on me in such a way that the results don't even matter. Because the journey with you, Jesus, is really where the blessing is. It's me dying to myself. It's me living more for you, dying to the resentment and the anger and the hate and the envy, and living in love, peace, joy. It's a choice. Romans 12:2 says this, and Tim shared this earlier, and I laughed because I'm like, all right, right on. He took one of my scriptures. Amen. Right on, Holy Spirit. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's the will of God for you and I to hear the information, right? I'm giving you information right now, but God gives you the revelation of the information. And when you have a revelation of this information and you put it into action, it brings forth transformation. Revelation to the information brings transformation. So what you're getting today is some great information. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will have a revelation about it, and it will be a seed planted in your heart that will bring fruit in your life for the rest of your life. The renewing of the mind it's repetitive. It's not just once. It's on the daily. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We must renew our minds daily. Why? Because, man, the second you leave here and you get on your phone again, or go home and turn on that TV, then you're getting pelted again. Pelted with stuff to trip on and worry about. There's just plenty of things in this life to trip on. Amen? This is the gift from God. You see, really, no matter who ends up in the White House, no matter what your day ends up being like today when you leave, God is sovereign over it all. God is sovereign over everything that's happening. We have to really get this in our spirit because we win. So that being said, life here on earth might get a little bit more uncomfortable or maybe a little more comfortable. I don't know. But I do know this. It all has to go through the hands of God. And He's called you and I to walk in the Spirit. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost in us so we could be a blessing when everybody else is tripping. We get to be a blessing. Be filled with the Spirit of God every day. It should be on the front lines of our to-do list. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. Because if you don't, you can't do any of this. And I understand that. I understand that in a way that I never understood that. But the more that I just live with Christ day in and day out, again, just to be clear, not perfectly, not. But yes, I put my mind to that. I put my logic to that. I line my logic with His. I get into His Word. I read what it says. I read a Bible I can understand. I dig as deep as I let that jump out in me. And the revelation of that is why I'm up here. The revelation of that is why I'm so excited to preach to you today. He brought it forth to me. A little word like that. Boom! I was like, wow! Because I lost something, Jesus. I lost something along the way. And I want you to come seek and save that in my life. I want you to bring healing to that and bless that, God, because it will bless others and it will bring you glory. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost physically or willfully, my will. Self will run riot. One of the great things about learning about Christ and walking with Him is His grace. I mean, He's got enough grace for us, you guys. I mean, wow, you know. Again, some are sicker than others. I'm very grateful for grace. I'm so grateful for grace. It has caused my will. You see, my will was all about me. What am I going to do? How much money am I going to have? What am I going to know? How successful is my business? And it was my relationship and what I need from that. And, you know, why isn't she meeting my wish list? By the way, if you got a wish list, just go ahead and scratch it out. I mean, I say that. I love my wife. She's a beautiful woman. She's perfect for me. She's flawed, just like me. You see, if I get into the self I, you know, she needs to be more like this. And she could do the same thing to me easily. But your will changes. Why? Because you realize when you stand before a living God, when you learn about Him, and even though in our brokenness we can be powerful in Him, it's like we get to celebrate. Now you get to celebrate the fact that you're broken. Hallelujah! There's a positive to this. Because Him, His power in my brokenness becomes the most powerful thing about me. My weaknesses become powerful because I address them. I've brought them before God. It is my will now to line my will up with His, which means that my job is to die more to self and step in more to the resurrected life of Jesus. That I put others before me, like that I actually really love others as I love myself. And if you don't know how to love yourself yet, God wants to teach you that first. You should know yourself. You should be honest with yourself. You should call it out. These are my character defects. This is what triggers me. I own it. And these are my strengths. Some of you have trouble admitting that. Your strengths. Do not muzzle the beautiful creation that God made in you. Your strengths are powerful. Capitalize on them. That's a gift from God, and you have them. Admit that stuff to yourself. So your weaknesses and your strengths, you admit that, and you admit that to yourself and before God. Let God work in you. It is incredible the way your will change. Now, even Paul knows the struggle. In Romans 7, he says this, "For the good that I want, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I do the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but it's the sin that dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully agree with the law of God. Do not murder, do not covet other people's stuff. But I see a different law in the parts of my body waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, the law which is in my body parts. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death?" Who? That's right. You're listening. Jesus. It's okay. You're gonna battle. You are going to battle. If this happened to the Apostle Paul, it's definitely going to happen to you and I. We will battle between the flesh and the spirit. But there is victory. There is victory when you get the revelation that this walking in the spirit is definitely better than walking in the flesh. And I know the difference because I'm trying. I'm trying to get out of my natural man self and step into a spiritual life with you, Jesus, and ask him, help me. Make things obvious to me. I want to see signs and wonders. I want your word to jump out of me like you did for Jonesy on this sermon today, God. Make it come alive to me and give me that revelation to change my will to yours. Because you will live, it's not all rainbows and unicorns. No. But you will live a full life. You will live a full life if you walk with Christ. It will be full. It won't be easy, but it will be full of moments of just so fulfilling. Have you ever, the greatest thing about, the way God works on us and the process is the ability when we cross over in the process, mind you, we end up being the blessing. We end up being the very need that needs to be met is met through us. You will find, oh my gosh, I have found why I'm here. I know why I'm here. I do hardwood floors to pay the bills. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to love people, to love them and share the good news of Jesus in my actions and in my words. In the way that I love and treat people. That's our job. No matter what happens. No matter what happens. Because remember, God's in control. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's a battle. But that's okay. It's sanctification. Now, before I wrap this up, okay, right on, Pastor Chris. You said a lot of good stuff today, but what does that look like? What's the action I need to take to start reaping this? Well, I want to bring up a man named Zacchaeus, and it's the first part of Luke chapter 19 that we based our scripture off of. And I'm just going to paraphrase this because I got to close. But Zacchaeus was a short man and he was a tax collector. Tax collector was the worst job that you could have back then. He cheated. He lied. He stole. I mean, he was a dirtbag, officially a dirtbag. He saw that Jesus was walking and he wanted to connect with Jesus. He wanted to connect with Jesus so bad. And he climbed a tree because he was so short that he couldn't, there's no way he was going to get Jesus' attention. So he climbs this tree and Jesus immediately goes, "Hey, Zach, what's up, buddy? I'm staying at your pad tonight. Why don't you come down?" And he's, okay. He jams down and receives Jesus with joy. And this is what he says. Because people criticize Jesus. Why is he going to a scumbag's house? He's God. And this is what happened. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I have given half my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house. Because he's also a son of Abraham, a Jew. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Something was restored in this scumbag that day. You see, he understood, and I don't know that if he had heard Jesus' teaching, or maybe he heard it through the grapevine or whatever, but he knew, God, my stuff is not as important as what you say. And you said that we should not allow our stuff to drive us. And today, Lord, I am showing you, I've given half of everything that I own to the poor. Because my stuff doesn't rule me, Jesus, you do. It's a condition of the heart. And that day, he did that. And then he said, you know what? Everybody I've ever done wrong, Jesus. I went back and maybe not everybody, but he says, the people that I've done wrong, I will pay back fourfold. So what he's saying is, from this moment on, Jesus, I'm not going to steal no more. I'm not going to lie no more. And you know what? I'm going to make amends for the times that I did. That's when Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. You get it, Zach. This is the condition of the heart that we need to be in. You know, God asks us to be like children. To be like children. And I'm saying this because there might be somebody in here and you have a hard time with parental figures because your parents sucked. You have a hard time with authority figures. I get it. But you have to allow yourself, this might be in the Jesus' name, I pray you break this wall down, God. By the power of your Holy Spirit, you must become like a child. That childlike faith, Dad, I don't know what I'm doing, but you do. When you can do that, your pride is gone, you are humbled, God can work in you. Don't let the stuff of this world distract you. Don't make sure that you know that telling the truth and walking in the truth is very important, not just to God, but to your well-being. Jesus says, I've come to seek and save that in you so you can live. You can be generous. And not worried about your bank account. Not worried about your stuff. You can be generous no matter how much you have or how much you don't. You can be generous. And you will, you trust me, you'll walk in the truth. Now, as long as I'm in this body, man, I'm a sinner. I'm going to fall short. But I don't have to live there. I live in the truth. I dust myself up. I ask for forgiveness. And I make amends where I need to make amends. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. It's all right. I know it's awkward. Do we clap? Praise God. This is what I love about this. You know, I see scumbags in the Bible and they get radically saved. And that's, I mean, it's simple, right? It's not rocket science, even though we make it. I get it, but it's simple. This is a heart condition for us. Don't let your stuff rule. Jesus came to seek and save everything you lost emotionally, everything you lost logically, everything you lost physically, and everything you lost spiritually. He came to save that now, in you, today, and every day. This moment and all the moments of the rest of the day today. It's about me and you acknowledging him and stepping into that and knowing that and stepping into the promise. Because money doesn't matter as much as it used to when you're living in the Spirit. And people matter more than they used to when you're living in the Spirit. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. What do you want today? What do you want to find today that you lost? Jesus has come to seek it out with you. Save it. Heal it. And then pour it out of you to somebody else so you can feel the need. Amen? So before we stop, I don't ever want to end a service without giving everybody the opportunity, because somebody might be in here that doesn't know if you're saved or not. I mean, if you don't know that you know that you know, if you leave this church today and a plane flies out of the sky and hits you, are you going to heaven? Do you know that? Are you secure with that in your heart? If you're not, I want to pray with you today. Today's the day. And then once you do that, you get to operate in this. Everything that I said today is for you. It's not for Pastor Chris and Pastor Chris alone because he's just some holy man. No way, man. And all my friends will know. I'm a sinner saved by grace like anybody else. I've taken the information. I've allowed God to give me the revelation. And now I put it into practice. And it's transforming my life. And I want to share that with you. I want to share that with you. I want to see God do miracles in your relationships and your life. But it all starts with making Him your Lord and Savior. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you have never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you've backslidden and you've done it before, but you know that you haven't been living for Christ and you just haven't, you want to rededicate your heart, I want to pray with you today. So if you've never given your life to Jesus or you backslid and want to rededicate your life, please raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Amen. I see your hand, brother. Church, pray this prayer with me. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life and save me. I ask you to break every chain, every shackle that would hinder me from walking with you. Make your word come alive to me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And by that declaration, I say, today I'm saved. Today I'm changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Welcome to the family, brother. Or welcome back. Let me pray over you guys. Father God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the word that was preached today, God. Allow opportunities this week, Father, to put that into practice. Lord, we thank you for coming to seek and save all that we lost along the way. But Father, I pray for that revelation that nothing has really been lost in you, Jesus, but we have all been found and we're ready to gain spiritually through love and joy and peace. So bless your people this week. Let your face smile upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.